Almighty Father, we bless your holy name. We thank you for the opportunity and the privilege to be here this morning. Our Lord and our God, we ask that you accept our thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Lord, we are going to your word. Father, we invite the Holy Spirit, our great teacher, to teach each and every one of us in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that you enable us, empower us, Lord. We are tired of hearing the word every time. Lord, give us grace. Give us new grace. Enable us so that we do us of your word in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God Almighty, for in Jesus' precious name we have prayed. So this morning, we'll be looking at winning faith. We'll be talking about faith, hope, and love. I remember last time I had the opportunity to share with us, we talk about the blessings of God, you know, that is going to be our portion this year. And today, you know, we'll be talking about hope, and I'm going to share with us this morning, if we want our faith to work, you know, if we want our faith to win, it has to have some characteristics. So I think I listed about seven here. So I will appreciate if we can be quick in opening our Bible, because I believe so much in opening the Bible and you reading the scriptures, so that you know what we read, we don't forget. But if I tell you, you know, you may not understand or even believe, but when you read yourself and the Holy Spirit interprets to you, you will understand better. So this morning, just like we're talking about faith, so we are still going to open our Bible to the book of Hebrew. There's no how we are going to talk about winning faith without the definition of faith itself. I want all of us to be there. We all know it, so we can say it together. Hebrews 11:1. Are we all there? I want us to be there. So at the count of two, then we'll read it together. Are we all there? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. 1, 2. Is the substance? Once again. Praise the Lord. You know, there are two instructive words that are very important to the passage we have read. You know, one, the confidence, and the certainty. You know, if you look at it, the confidence, believing God, believing in God's character, you know, that he is who he says he is. The certainty, you know, he will do what he says he will do. Even all the circumstances around us, you know, we may not see those things, that the evidence of things that we believe in God for, but at the same time, I want us to hold on to God, and God, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, will bring it into a perfect end. You know, when we believe God's promises, even though we don't see the promise materializing, yet we will hold and demonstrate our faith, and God will help us in Jesus' name. You know, if we want our faith to work or win, the title is winning faith. You know, there are some things that will be the characteristic of our faith. Number one characteristic of a winning faith is to live an offense-free life. You know, let's quickly open our Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 11, verse 6. If you are there before me, you can read. Matthew 11:6. Number one characteristic of a winning faith is to live an offense-free life. Praise the Lord. Luke 17:1. Again, talking about winning faith, what can make our faith to win? Live an offense-free life. Luke 17:1.
But woe unto him through whom they come.
Praise the Lord. You know, as we have seen where we have read, you know, offense is a big enemy to our faith. You know, each time we take offense in something, you know, our faith will not be able to win. And unfortunately, we cannot pray offense away. Fortunately or unfortunately, we live in a world where there will be always be offense. It is your choice to live an offense-free life or to take offense. There's no how we are going to talk about winning faith that we are not going to talk our Father, you know. He's a typical example of a life that is offense-free. If you look at his life, if you look at Genesis chapter 12, you know, God gave him the promises there that he's going to be father of nation, and he was 75 years old then, you know, and he kept going. And where we read this morning, if you look at it in Romans chapter 4, verses 17 to 18, you know, he said he did not waver at the promises of God. He kept going. You know what happened? In Genesis chapter 21, he was 100 years old when the promise came to be fulfilled. You know, look at how many years interval. How many years? 25 years. Praise the Lord. You know, he's a good example of a person who lived an offense-free life. This morning, the good news I want to tell you is that I don't know what you are going through, but God is ever faithful. He did it in the life of the father of faith, and he will do it in your life in Jesus' name. And if you look at him again, he decided that he's not going to be offended in God. You know, sometimes we offended in God. You say, Lord, this, we start asking God question. You know, he decided, he said, I'm not going to be offended in God. You know, sometimes there are two ways offense come, either in God or in man, and there's nothing we can do about it. Offense will always come. That's where we've read. Look at him again with the issue of Lot. You know, when it was time for them to separate, Lot should go to her own way, then he should go too. You know what Lot did? How many of us know what happened? How many of us know? In Genesis 45, how many of us know? The fertile, he took the one that is so nice, the fertile ground. And Abraham say? Say, no, you go. No offense. I'm not going to take offense in you. You go. That is faith. A life that is no offense free. That's the life that we win. The faith that we win should be offense free, either in man or in God. Look again at somebody else in Genesis 45. We all know about Joseph. When Joseph saw his brother, you know, because of the joy, he could not even control himself. He quickly went to them. Oh, I'm Joseph. You know, that's a life that is free of offense. You know, all of us will remember from the elementary school the story of Joseph. We knew what happened to him, what the brother did to him. But, you know, he did not. He said, this is my brother. And, you know, introduced himself, received them. He decided, I'm not going to be offended in man. A faith that we win should be offense free. And God will help us in Jesus' name. Again, in the old, we say these are all, you know, some of us, we like to argue the Bible. Say, oh, she's only talking about the New Testament. We are in the new age now. So let's look at the Old Testament. If you look at the Acts of the Apostles, I want somebody to open. Let's look at the life of Stephen. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7, verses 54 to 60. Talking about the people who live an offense-free life. Acts 7:54-60.
But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep.
Praise the Lord. Stephen, you know, he said, Lord, even these people that are doing these things to me, Apostle Paul was the one who was holding his sword. He said, Lord, forgive them. You know, He decided, I'm not going to be offended in these people. I'm not going to be offended in man. Forgive them. And what happened? Let's look at Jesus Christ, our perfect example. He did the same thing too. Let's look at Luke chapter 23. We are talking about people who live an offense-free life. Luke 23, verse 34. Just going to the last one. Just paraphrase it because of our time. Luke 23:34.
They know not what they do, and parting out his garments, they cast lots.
Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ, our perfect example, you know. Jesus Christ, we follow Jesus Christ, so he's our perfect example. He too, he lived an offense-free life, so we can do it, you know. Even what the you know, the when they took him to the Pilate, you know, and they delivered him to the hand of the Pilate, and he was crucified, you know. He said, "Father, forgive them." He's still asking for forgiveness for them, asking them, "Forgive them, forgive my offenders. I decided I'm not going to be offended in man. Father, forgive them." That should be our attitude. If we want our faith to win, we have to have an attitude of an offense-free living. And what we need to do is just to ask God for grace. Just like I've said before, there's no how we can praise offense away. It will always happen. I used to tell people, I said, as old as I am now, if I decided to go back living with my mom, I said, we still have argument, we quarrel. Offense will always come. What we need to do is to decide in our mind, choose, I'm going to live an offense-free life, and God will give us the grace in Jesus' name. Because this is very vital to our faith. I'll just share two causes of offense. You know, number one, to be offended in man or God. You know, some negative life experience. You know, when we look at ourselves, you know, all those things that we've been through, we just look at it and say, "Oh Lord, oh, everything about me, I've tried everything, nothing is working. This person, this, that." You know, negative life experience can cause us to be, you know, to be offended either in God or man. So what do we need to do? You know, we should look at the life of Apostle Paul. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 to 14. Negative life experience, causes of offense. You know, Philippians 3, 13 and 14. See? "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are ahead, and press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." You know, even if we've been through negative experience, we've been through bad situation, bad things has happened to us, you know, we should refuse to be offended in God. Just like where we have read, forgetting about those things, start afresh, you know, start. Refuse to be offended either in God or in man, so that your faith will be able to walk or win, and God will help us in Jesus' name. I always say, all of us, we've been through bad situation, we've had bad experience, there's nothing we can do about it. So far we are here, we see situation that we are not prepared for, we see situation that we are not expecting. And I can tell you, we are all in the school of faith. Nobody graduates from it. It's like marriage. What we do is we make progress. And I can tell you, before I preach this message, you know, by divine intervention or by divine arrangement, I've been in the school of faith. You know, sometimes my husband will tell me something, he wake me up at the night and start saying things, then I will be afraid. Sometimes I'll start going to the toilet, my temperature will change, and I will look at it and say, "Lord, what is this?" You know, it's fear. Nothing will be, I will be okay, fine, but as soon as he begins to tell me things, this is what God is saying, then I will be afraid. And that is what the devil wants. So, but now, I'm not saying that I'm there, but I'm making steady progress, and you make progress in Jesus' name. Unfulfilled expectation can make us to be offended either in man or in God. Sometimes we have some expectation, and that may be delayed for one reason or the other, instead of us complaining and, you know, start, the Bible says, they that compare themselves with others are not wise. You know, sometimes God delays something for his purpose. We should not be unfettered in man or in God, you know. We should always have faith and know that God, who has, you know, started a new thing, will bring it to a perfect end, you know. You see, the expectation of the righteous shall not be cut short. We should hold on to the word of God instead of us to be offended either in God or man. Say, oh Lord, I've been serving you. Look at me. I've been this, that. You know, hold on to the word of God. And God is ever faithful. And he will be faithful in all your situations in Jesus' name. We're talking about, I just mentioned two things that causes offense, you know, unfulfilled expectation and negative life experience. Remember, number one characteristic of a faith that will win is the one that is offense free. So number two characteristic of a winning faith is fearlessness. You know, how many of us, you know, when we are always in fear, you know, how many of us know that fear itself is a spirit, you know? It is, and it torments people. Let me quickly give us the definition of fear. It says, false evidence appearing real. You will see it, and it's fear. You say, oh, this thing must be it, and you will be seeing it. The devil is so good at it, and you will see all the evidence. I call them the false evidence that appear real. They are not real. The faith that we win will not operate in fear. We all know 2 Timothy 1:7. Say, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sound mind. You know, it's a spirit. It torments people when we begin to fear. You know, just like I told you before, I'll start going to the toilet before I don't have diarrhea. Then I'll start panicking. That is fear. God will deliver us in Jesus' name. There's example of Job. Let's quickly look at the book of Job, chapter 1. Have to live a fearless life. Job 1. If you are there, just start from verse 5.
Job sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them who. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and caused God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. 6. Now there was...
It's all right. Thank you. If you look at where my sister has just read, you know, fear is making Job to make sacrifice. Every time, you know, his children is going to gather. I say, oh, let me quickly make sacrifice. Maybe because my children, they've offended God in their hearts. Let me quickly. And he's doing that every time. That is fear. If our faith is going to win, it has to be a fearless one. You know, he's always making sacrifice. Let's look at Job 3:35 again. Every time his children, you know, and it happened to us. Those of us with kids, we worry a lot. Oh, what will become of this, my child? What will become of this? How wait? What have we? Start asking questions. Job chapter 3, verse 25.
And that which I was afraid of is come unto me.
Praise the Lord. Because when he was afflicted, because he has been, you know, the fear in him, each time he's always making sacrifice. Maybe the children has done something or they say, what I have feared has come upon me, you know. What we fear, you know, we should not fear. Cast all your burden unto God. He cares for us, you know. When he was afflicted, he remembered because he's always afraid. Oh, maybe my children, they've done this or done that. You know, we should ask God to help us, to give us the grace so that we live a fearless life. And then our faith will be able to win. And God will help us in Jesus' name. Fear is a torment. It comes in different forms. You know, it will make you to do things that you are not supposed to do. Unusual things. You know, sickness. Fear can bring sickness. Honestly, there was one day, because of, you know, what I've said now, I went to bed, I was well, And it just take my husband to share a couple of things with me. Then I started having running stool. I couldn't go to work. That is fear. I'm sharing it with you so that we can build up our faith. I say we cannot graduate from the school of faith, but we make progress, and I'm making progress, I can tell you. Praise the Lord. Number three characteristic of a winning faith is to love God more. You know, if we want our faith to win, we have to love God more. Let's quickly look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Galatians 5, 6. I want us to read, try to read, so that when you read, you understand, you don't forget. Galatians 5, 6. Are we all there? Chapter 5, verse 6. Praise the Lord. Faith worketh through love. You know, we must be rooted in the word or in the love of God. Our love for God determines our faith to win. The love of God is the platform for a winning faith. You know, we should love God not because of what he has done for us. Love him because of who he is. You know, how many of us know that lovers, they enjoy the best of each other? If you really love somebody, you enjoy the best of everything that each person has. Praise the Lord. So the same thing, you know, we should love God unconditionally. If you look at the life of the three Hebrew boys in Daniel 3:8, you know, it is the love they have for God that made them to stand and not bow to the strange God. And even they said that if God that we serve decided not to save us, that they are still not going to bow to any strange God. That is the love of God. They were determined to love God even more. Even in times where all things look as if it's not working, they decided to love God more. So for our faith to win, we have to make up our mind, deliberately love God more. You know, not because you want God to do something for you, but you love him because he is God. And God will help us in Jesus' name. If our faith, number four, is going to work, is going to win, it must be the one that trusts in the Lord only. You know, that you don't have any hidden agenda, you're doing things and you just depend totally on God and know that it's only God who can do it. It's not as if you are trusting God and you still consult things that are not appropriate. You are trusting God, you go to the internet to look for your answer, you are trusting God, you know, fasting, you've prayed, and after that you went to consult something else. You know, we have to leave everything behind us and trust on God only. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs 3:5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You know, we should trust wholly on him. He's the one, you know, who can do the impossible. He said, I am God of all impossibility. Is there anything too hard for me to do? Nothing is too hard for our God. Ours is to acknowledge him. Allow him to have impact on what we are doing. You know, there's one thing about our God. If we don't invite him, he won't come. I always tell people that when you wake up in the morning and you don't say your prayers, then you went to work, something happened, and you quickly went to the toilet and say, Lord, you can't use God like that. God is not an errand boy that you just quickly send for him when you need him. No, you have to acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. Trust him for all your ways, in everything you are doing, in your this action, whatever you are doing, acknowledge God, and your faith will win for you in Jesus' name. You know, there's one thing that we cannot talk about winning faith and we are not going to mention. That is forgiveness. Unforgiveness is a major hindrance to a winning faith. If you look at the book of Luke chapter 11 verse 4. It says, I want us to read it together. Are we all there? Luke chapter 11 verse 4. Are we all there? 1, 2, go. I can't hear it all. Can we say it again? Praise the Lord. How many of us want God to forgive us? Then what do we need to do? We have to forgive others. Praise the Lord. If we are not, if we say, okay, I'm not going to forgive in this situation. You are telling God to, in a very simple way, God, don't forgive me too. When I lift up my hand, don't answer me. That's what you are saying. Forgiveness, you know, is not a gift. It's a choice. You go, I don't have the gift of forgiveness. You have. It's a choice. Oh, don't tell me to forgive. Ah, do you know what? No, I don't want to know. Choose to forgive. It's a choice. It's not a gift. We choose to forgive. Sometimes if you find it hard, begin to call the name of the person and say, I choose to forgive you. It works. You know? Just like I've said before, we can't pray offense. We can't say, oh, no, I don't. No, it's not possible. I remember we used to have a sister here. If you say, oh, sister, please, can you help us to arrange this chair? Oh, no, I don't want to step on toes. I said, what? How can you, as a child of God, you don't want to do anything? How can you not step on toes? Step on toes and say sorry. Praise the Lord. If we are not going to forgive, we are not going to do anything. Because even if we are not go, if we don't have the attitude of forgiveness, we will not be able to do anything. Am I right? Every day, people offend us. Am I right? You will even say something, you will not even say something. People will misunderstand and miss, you know, you misquote you. Sometimes you even keep quiet. They say some people, they are good in it. For, even when she's keeping quiet, I know what she's thinking. No, it's true. We all do that. She doesn't want to talk, but I know. So that's why I'm doing this too. I'm not going to forgive her. Eh? How can you know? Say you know what somebody is thinking? And some of us, even if person have done something wrong to us and say, oh, please, I'm sorry. So the forgiveness is not genuine. Who are you to say one forgive is not genuine? How do you know? Even for the person to humble his or herself to come to you, it's genuine. You know, just like I said before, that it's not a gift. You choose to forgive. You choose to forgive. If we don't, our faith will not win. It means God will not forgive us too. And who are we? If we are offended in man, it's even better to be offended in God. Who will bail us out? God will give us the grace to forgive more and more in the mighty name of Jesus. Number 6, if we want our faith to win, we must keep a good conscience. Good conscience. I have a definition of conscience here. I said a good conscience is the one that is alive to God and is allowed to walk. Because we have control over our conscience. You know, we have. Let's quickly look at 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 19. Winning faith must keep a good conscience. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 19. Praise the Lord. You know, some of us, you know, we have kept away good conscience and therefore our conscience is shared or dead. You know, we're in the age, we end time Christian, we have lots to do. We're in the age where people, we don't mind our conscience anymore. You know, our conscience no longer pricks us. Even if we do something wrong, we just look at it like that. Even when we mix good with evil, nothing will happen. We just go like that. Each time, do we know that each time we harden our conscience, you know, when we do something wrong, and the Holy Spirit is telling us, ah, sister, hey, this is not good. I say, ah, no. And just try to bone face and harden and toughen up, you know. If we continue, that is how you make shipwreck of your conscience, you know. Next time, you will even do something, and God will not even talk anymore. I pray that will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Then, before we know it, the good conscience, we go. We'll be left alone. It will disappear. You know? And we begin to do even things, you know. I remember I was listening to one message, how this man, you know, somebody came to their place of work and gave bribe. And this man partook of the bribe. And when the money was put in an envelope and was given to this pastor, he took it and said, ah, but immediately he rationalized, say, I'll use it for offering on Sunday. You know, when the conscience pricked him, say, ah, this man said he couldn't rest until he was able to return this money. And the person who gave them the money is a big man that you can hardly go to him. You know, when you still allow your conscience to work, God will work with you. You know what happened? You know, God divinely orchestrated it that this man came to their office again. And this pastor was still holding the brown envelope which contains the money. As soon as this man saw this man again, he said, oh, thank you, Jesus. This is the man. So I have the opportunity to give the money back. And he did. You know, each time we do something, we all know, I tell my children, I say, even if something happened and they decided to argue it out because they understand English more than me, they can talk and they just straighten it. I said to them, I say, we all have conscience. I say, if what you have said is right, I've leave you to your conscience and I go. You know, each time God is telling us something through our conscience and we harden up, we rationalize, talk it out, you know, use good English. It will come to a time, if we don't yield to what the Spirit is telling us, you know, then it will go. And we'll be on our own. You'll not be on your own in Jesus' name. Our conscience is the spiritual law enforcement agent, you know. He's the one who checks us. Are you in the right track? You know, all of us, we know when we are doing the right thing. We all know. Even if no one is looking. But if we don't keep a good conscience, then our faith might not win. And God will help us in Jesus' name. You know, number 7 characteristic of a winning faith. If our faith is going to work, we don't have business in quitting the faith. If our faith is going to work, I say, oh, because you used to be a Christian before, because something is, you expect to have something and you are not having it. I decided I'm going to change. I'm going to become something else. And because I called God, God is not answering. And I know I'm not going to do this. No, you have to be in there and be perseverance. You know, if you want to win, you don't quit. So you have to be there. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. I think 2 Timothy, please. Chapter 1, 12. Praise the Lord. You know, say, I am persuaded that he's able to keep what I have committed unto him till that day. You know, that we know God is ever faithful. If we want our faith to win, then we have to be in the faith. We don't leave. We don't quit. And God will help us in Jesus' name. Let's look at Luke 18:1, the parable of the unjust judge. Luke chapter 18. 1 to 8, ma. Luke 18, 1 to 8.
And he would not for a time, but afterward he said within himself, if even I fear not God and respect not man, at any rate because this widow annoy me, I will revenge her that she may not by perpetually coming completely harass me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge say and shall not God at all average his elect, who cry to him day and night, and he bears long as to them. I say unto you that he will average them speedily, but when the Son of Man comes, shall he indeed find faith on the head? And he spoke also some who trust in them.
Praise the Lord, ma.
Unto it.
Thank you, ma. See, you know the unjust judge, you know the parable, we all know the parable of unjust judge. This widow kept going, you know. He didn't say, okay, because I was there yesterday, I'm not going again. He kept, you know, she was going and going and going. And he said, you know, look at the last part of it. He said, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily, you know. Nevertheless, the Son of Man come, he will find faith. Will he find faith on earth, you know? If we are always one leg in, one leg out, if we are always quitting, you know, how can we win? I remember sometimes ago, about 3-4 years ago, there is this lady, she had a baby, then she's not a Christian, she's not even born again. Then she called my husband and said, oh, please, pastor, I want you to come and pray for my child. I want you to come to the naming ceremony. Then my husband looked at her and said, why will I come to your what do you want me to do? Then we said, okay, give me time. Pastor told her, give me time to think about it and pray. Every day, this girl is always calling. Pastor, yes, please, I just want you to come. I still want you to come. Come and pray for my child. Then it got to a stage. My husband said, after all, she's not a Christian. I'm not God. Then we went. We did. Just like what happened to the widow here, you know. If we are saying we are not going to, you know, we are going to be one leg in, one leg out, any small thing, we are leaving. Any small thing, we are quitting the faith. How can we win? It is impossible. We have to endure hardship. Sometimes, you know, and I just, you know, when you are going through all those things, you just focus on God and tell God, Lord, what do you want me to learn from this situation? Quitting is not the solution. It's not the issue. The good news is that God is ever faithful. You know, if you want, the word quit is never found in the dictionary of a winner, you know, as a Christian, you know. If you are always not sure, always living, small thing, you don't even pray anymore. Small thing, when they talk about God issue, you just say, oh, please, I've had enough. No, you have to keep on, and God will help us in Jesus' name. Even when everything, nothing look like it's working. God make everything beautiful in his own time, and God will bless us in Jesus' name. Can we just rise up and talk to God? We're talking about winning faith, talking about offense is the major hindrance to our faith to win. Even as you have heard the word this afternoon, begin to ask God for more grace. Begin to ask God for more strength so that you'll be able to live a life that is offense-free.
Just begin to speak to the Lord. Why should we be in faith if we are not going to win? We are in need to win, and you are a winner. Ask God to make you a winner, that everything, whoever needs to be forgiven, every offense that needs to be let go, that God will give you grace so you can let it go. So you'll be who God wants you to be and what God wants you to be. That's the winning faith. Just pray to God. Say, Lord, I want to win. Remember, they that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. quitters don't win and winners don't quit. Say, Father, instead of me quitting, you know, some people come to a point and they say, this marriage is not going to work. I'm going to quit. We are not quitters. We see it through. Some people have children and say, oh, I've come to a point that I don't even say anything to my child anymore. They are quitting. I say, that will not be your story in Jesus' name. Some people have a job. And it looks like hell is let loose against them. And the next thing they want to think of is quitting. If the reason you are quitting is because Satan is trying to flex his muscles, then you are not a winner. You can only quit that place or leave that place for your promotion and go to a place where God wants to set you on high. Pray to God that you will never quit, that God will take you to the place he has planned and proposed for you in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you and we give you glory. Lord, the righteous is as bold as a lion. They are bold because they are always found in doing good. We are established in the courts of our God. That is why we are bold. Our Father and our God, every spirit of fear in the lives of your people, we cast it out now in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of giving up, we turn into the spirit of moving up in Jesus' name. Every spirit of negativity that see darkness in the place of righteousness, my Father and my God, we turn it around from today in Jesus' name. In every area of your life, you will see the beauty of the Lord in the mighty name of Jesus. You will see the hand of God in every situation. It does not matter how unpleasant, it does not matter how tough it may appear to you. Because you have a winning faith, you will soar like an eagle in Jesus' name. Because the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You will not faint in Jesus' name. You will not be weary in the name of Jesus. You are soaring from today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Let's share the grace in fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God,